You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Fan Club.
Woot woot.
Woot woot. Welcome to Fan Club. My name is Isia, and my co-host is...
Daniel. I'm the co-host.
And this is our weekly show about movies, television, music, pop culture,
et cetera. Yeah.
And what it all means to us.
Yes.
And today we're going to be talking about the M word.
The M word.
Yeah. M standing for Marvel.
Mm.
I feel like this has been inevitable, you know?
Yeah, just like as Thanos said.
Yeah, I did that by mistake, but then I realized, that's what he says.
That was really clever.
Yeah, it's kind of impossible to talk about movies and the current film landscape without talking about Marvel.
Yeah, and I feel like the two of us, it was an inevitable having this episode, just because I feel like since we've met, Marvel has frequently come up in our conversations whenever we're talking about movies as well. So I'm excited at all the revelations and insights that we're going to get into.
Mm-hmm. So, Daniel.
Yes.
Since you're so smart and you know all about statistics
Stop.
And facts and those kind
so
of things.
Kind of you.
do you want to just, you know, give a financial image of how big Marvel truly is?
Yeah, I mean... In short, they are like the biggest like movie franchise ever when it comes to money. They've grossed over like $28.5 billion at the global box office.
Mad.
Which is like an insane amount of money. And I believe like Endgame at the moment is like the highest grossing movie ever if you don't adjust for like...
I think still, yeah.
Oh. If you don't adjust for inflation and all that. I mean, Avatar might have overtaken it with its, like return to theaters. But in terms of, like...
You're correct.
First time a movie came out, like, Endgame is number one, I believe.
Damn. Yeah, I think for Marvel, specifically, it's Avengers Endgame, then Avengers Infinity War, then Spider-Man.
Yeah.
The last one.
No Way Home.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's an insane amount of money, insane amount of movies, insane amount of... IPs, and I may be mistaken, but like one thing that is crazy to me to always think about is how like so much of the birth around the MCU was not as like intricately like plotted or planned. Like I remember reading about like the first Iron Man, and most people know like that was kind of like Robert Downey Jr.'s like comeback role. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading about like Jon Favreau, the writer and director of that movie. A lot of that movie was kind of like made up as they went along.
Yeah.
In terms of like the script and stuff.
They recast, what's his name?
War Machine.
Black Iron Man.
War Machine. yeah. In the second one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's crazy that now it's like this big, intricate, like spider web of people to know and like plots that is a little hard to think about. But yeah, the newest one puts them at like 31 movies, and then I believe they have like 8 Disney Plus shows. So it's like,
eight?
I think 8, yeah.
Wow.
So it's an insane amount of content, and Isia, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the discourse from maybe other like bigwigs in cinema and maybe their thoughts on it?
Yeah, there's been a lot of discussion around Marvel as of late, and kind of the conversation around whether it's, you know, real cinema or these are if they're movies with any like, you know, substance to them was sparked by good old Martin Scorsese. I think the spark that has ignited all this discourse to come for years and years was his quote in a interview in Empire Online. And this was during his like promo cycle for The Irishman. And to quote, he
good
said, Great movie. Actually, I lied. I haven't seen it. I don't. I just instinctively agreed with you. I haven't seen The Irishman. Love his other movies now. But yeah, to quote, he said, "I don't see them," he says of the MCU. "I tried, you know, but that's not cinema. Honestly, the closest I can think of them, as well made as they are, with actors doing the best they can under the circumstances, is theme parks. It isn't cinema of human beings trying to convey emotional, psychological experiences to another human being." So yeah, this little quote that, I don't know, happened in an article which was otherwise had nothing to do with Marvel, just created like a landslide of anger and like... Yeah.
Redditors were angry.
Yeah. Twitter comic book guys were mad.
Yeah.
They're all, you know, crapping on this cute little man who was just asked a question and answered it.
Terrible day for the Redditor's girlfriends. Like, just yeah. Worse.
And yeah, there was a lot of pushback against that, even from other directors. Like James Gunn kind of compared his judgment to Martin's judgment of Marvel to the backlash that Martin faced when he released The Last Temptation of Christ, which got a lot of pushback from like Christians.
Yeah.
And that was a whole thing. And then also recently, I think Martin wrote an essay actually specifically on Marvel after all this discourse was happening. He like finally defended himself.
Like in the New York Times, I think.
Or yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And then Simu Liu said that in response to that, he was really angry, basically. And he said, "No movie will ever be perfect, but I'm proud to work with one that has made sustained efforts to improve diversity on screen by creating heroes that empower and inspire people of all communities everywhere. I love the Golden Age, too, but it was white as hell." And then finally, we'll circle back to all our opinions and all this drama, but I just wanted to timeline it first.
Yeah.
And then very recently, Tarantino chimed in and said that you know, he doesn't hate the movies, but he doesn't love them, and his main axe to grind against them is that they're the only things that seem to be made. So Daniel, yes. what do you think of this different sides of the argument, and do you think all the kind of angry discourse that has stemmed from it is warranted? Is there a side you sympathize with more?
Well, before that, if I can like quickly add something to the timeline, I think in like October, Christian Bale gave an interview and he was asked about his Marvel experience. And he had like a similar sentiment to like what Martin Scorsese said, where it's kind of like actors doing the best they can under these circumstances. And he was talking about how it was such like a bewildering and confusing experience because like everything he did was on a green screen and there would be like a little stick in front of him and he was supposed to like cry at it or something like that. So I guess to answer your question, which I think is like how I feel about all these quotes, is I don't think Martin Scorsese said anything crazy. Like, he is like an elderly man, and I don't think he was necessarily saying like Marvel movies are like a stain on like the purity that is cinema. It kind of sounded like he was more saying, these movies aren't really for me. These movies don't really fit like the definition of cinema that I have and that like all my heroes had while I was like growing up. And I think like in his like later op-ed, he kind of said like maybe if I was younger or had grown up in a different time, some of these movies would have been my favorite ever, but like I didn't. So they're just not for me, and that is okay. So because of that, I feel like maybe the backlash was like a little unwarranted. But at the same time, I do think, like, especially for me, like, Marvel movies, and my friends as well, like, Marvel movies, I feel like, have had, like, such an impact on pulp culture that has been, I don't know, I want to say, like, overall positive. Like, I remember seeing, like, Infinity War and Endgame in the theater, like, with my friends on, like, opening night. And those are some of my, like, favorite, like, cinema or, like, theater experiences or whatever. But I also definitely think the quality has declined since then. So I think I'm a little ambivalent about it. But overall, I think the backlash to Scorsese was a little blown out of proportion. I don't really have any thoughts on what like Simu said, because I don't know. The golden age of movies is kind of like not a real thing to me. but I can understand why he would be upset. That was a ramble, but what do you think?
No, that's fine. I mean, the thing is, I think you can enjoy Marvel movies, and especially if you like grew up watching them, like I did. I feel like, yeah, just a quick background on my personal experience with Marvel.
Let's get into it.
I was like pretty invested up until recently. Like I watched all the movies. I honestly think around Infinity War is when I was starting to care a little less.
Yeah.
Like around those Avengers movies. And then like now I've just completely, I've given up on watching any of the movies. But I don't know. I can acknowledge that I had a good time watching a lot of them and they're fun, but also they're not like particularly good, you know?
They're not like, like The Departed or something.
They're just, they're very formulaic, and they're made to make you feel good, and they're cool because these characters are so expansive, and it's like just cool to have characters that exist in so many worlds, and like you can kind of, if you wanted to, like if you're obsessed with Spider-Man, you could delve into new Spider-Man material, and like it would take you years and years and years to get through it, you know? Like there's comic books dating back years, and there'll probably be like a new Spider-Man every decade, and that's cool, like if you're attached to a character. And I think that's the value, and that's why people are so attached to Marvel, is because it's just like these characters with like millions, I don't know how to describe it, but it's like pretty crazy to just imagine, like, do you ever watch a TV show and the show ends and you're just sad and you're like,
yeah, the you go sit on the beach, like head down kind of thing.
Yeah, and the characters live on in your brain and you wish you could see more of, like, you treat them like real people in your brain and you're like, I wish I could see more of who are, or like where their timeline goes. But with Marvel, you can basically do that. You just got to find the comic book with the right arc and just, it's there. Like, there's just endless content basically, which I think is the appeal of it all, which is fine.
Which is funny you say that, because I feel like more and more I've wanted to see like less of, like when, I don't know, like when you're saying like, oh, when you finish a show and you want to see their lives like go on and on and on, I feel like I'm starting to like have the opposite feeling like with more Marvel movies I watch, which is kind of a bummer. But
yeah, I feel like, because it's an attractive thing, but then when you get it, it's kind of like, this is too much.
Yeah.
Especially when they're movies. Like, I think it's cool when you can go to other mediums and doing it. Like, and that's a cool thing about adaptations.
Yeah.
From, like, text or graphic novels to movies. But it's just, like, it's, like, an absolute machine. And, I mean, you know, it's a Marvel movie under Disney. Like, it's, like, I don't know. They're not making movies to, it's like getting mad at someone for saying like a, I don't know, the Mario movie isn't
real
high cinema.
It's
like, yeah, it's not made for that. I don't know.
It's made for fans of Mario. But personally, I will be campaigning for it to win all the Oscars when it comes out, because it's going to be the best movie ever made. But I see your point.
Yeah, I think the blowback was weird. I also think that James Gunn's comparison to The Last Temptation of Christ is very strange. Like,
it's a little different.
It's a little different when the church is mad at you for a piece of art that you did and like is trying to boycott your movie versus a bunch of like cinephiles on Twitter don't like your movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I thought that was a weird comparison. And
what
then
Simu.
Simu, okay, I really thought his, this is one tweet that I read in a rant that I think he's now deleted, which also fits into our previous discussion about movie stars on our first episode a couple weeks ago.
Check that out at CITR.ca.
Yep, it's
or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, Apple Podcasts. I think, is it on Spotify?
I didn't see it yet. But
okay, maybe not on Spotify. It's on some. It's somewhere. But yeah, I think there was a discussion saying that basically, like, okay, let me try and make this make sense in my brain. So Simu Liu, okay, Anthony Mackie, who plays the Falcon, he love him. He said that there aren't movie stars anymore. These like characters are the stars that draw people to the movie. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Anthony Mackie is not a star. The Falcon is the draw, not him. which, like, you know, he's pretty self-aware. He's like, you know, someone else could probably play this part and it would be probably just as successful. Yeah. Like, I think back in early Marvel days, like, Robert Downey Jr. was probably integral to Iron Man in a way, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, those early actors were pretty important to their roles, but now it could be anyone.
Yeah, I mean, like, Tom Holland was not, like, he was in movies, but it wasn't like Tom Holland was super popular before Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I feel like him being attached to Spider-Man has elevated his profile, but not like the other way around.
Yeah. So that was an example. Anthony Mack is an example of a Marvel star who is aware of his situation, but CMU took, basically he was taking critique of Marvel to be personal critique of himself. Which I think triggered this series of angry tweets towards Scorsese and the general discourse, which is really interesting because he's kind of proving the point that an attack on Marvel is an attack on his skill.
As an actor.
So it's like, I don't know how to describe it, but he's basically like defending this massive corporation because that's like, Shang-Chi is Marvel, it's not him.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, that makes sense. I guess, like, my thoughts on that are, like, one, please get up off your knees, Simu. Like, it is not that deep. But, like, secondly, I do understand it. Like, I feel like if I, like, for one, I did like Shang-Chi other than, like, the Marvel aspects, like, in the third, I don't know if you've seen it, but, like,
I saw, that's one of the last ones I saw, actually.
Like, it's, I think it's good up until, like, the third act pretty much, but I could see like being involved in a movie that's so significant just on like a cultural level and in terms of like representation, and then this like old white guy's like saying these aren't real movies. I could see like taking that like personally and like equalizing it with like his skill as an actor and like what Shang-Chi was trying to do, but I don't know. I just don't. Like, if someone told me, like, Black Panther wasn't high cinema, I don't think I would be super upset. But I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. No, I think that... Sorry, my phone's going off for some reason. Okay, there you go. I also think, though, that's another thing about his argument is, you know, him propping up Marvel as this, like, you know, entity that's, like, done a lot for diversity. How many movies did it take them to not have a, you know, white superhero or like white lead at the center of their movie? Like it took like 20 movies. It took a long time.
Yeah, literally. It's the 18th film. Black Panther is the 18th film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And also it's just like, okay, we don't need to get too deep into this. I think we should do a specific episode on, you know, about representation and what like good representation looks like. But I don't know, like I'm never going to look to Marvel as to like provide good commentary on any like social or cultural or racial
issue.
Like issue or discuss or provide anything of value, because the politics of Marvel movies are bad. I don't know. Like, I don't know how else to say that.
Should we get into that then? But like, our overall discussion on are Marvel movies good? Because I feel like that kind of their politics or whatever is probably a bit of an extension of that question.
I definitely think we should, but I think we should do so after we play a few ads. So I'm going to play some ads and PSAs, and then we will be back discussing if we think Marvel movies are actually good, if we think their messaging has anything to offer, is it harmful, is it harmless. Tune in or stay tuned in to hear more.
Have you ever considered going abroad to study a degree, work, volunteer, or learn a language? Mark Thursday, March 2nd in your calendar and get down to Vancouver Convention Center, East Building, to find out how. All the experts under one roof. Top universities, professional schools, and student travel organizations feature seminar on scholarships. Starts at 1 p.m. and the expo opening starts at 2 p.m. And there's free admission. For more information, go online to www.studyandgoabroad.com.
Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? Need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Fan Club with Isia and Daniel. And we've been talking about Marvel movies, kind of the discourse surrounding their quality or validity as, you know, cinema. Are they just made for entertainment? Are they just money grabs? Or are they life-changing for some people? Who knows? Just before the break, I was talking about kind of the politics in Marvel movies, or I guess the subtle politics, which I think are interesting. And I don't know. Talking about just going back to Simu Liu's comment on representation, I do think the representation in Marvel, it obviously has a lot of value, especially like Black Panther, like the cultural impact of that was very off. Obvious, and like the, I don't know, the amount of kids and like just people dressing up to go, like it was massive, and I think that's important as like a, you know, visibility thing, and like it's good for kids, but I don't know if it extends much past that.
That's fair.
What do you think?
I don't know. I remember watching Black Panther and I was like, oh, this is sick. And I thought it was really cool that it was like an all black cast, like black writer and director. And yeah, I thought it was really interesting just to see. I think I was like 17 or something, but it was just like really cool to see Chadwick Boseman.
I feel like
he brought, RIP. I feel like he brought a lot to that role. And I mean, I don't remember. I remember even, like, having issues with Black Panther, but they were more just like, oh, the CGI is, like, really bad at some points and stuff. But
like the fight scene at the end in the tunnel. That
was the fight scene at the end of the tunnel is so atrocious. And I think I was, like, annoyed that in Civil War, like,
He was way cooler. I have a lot of, I agree.
Yeah. Definitely. Like, they kind of nerfed
his fighting style was, like,
way cooler in Civil War.
Yeah, it was, like, hand to hand. And then, they just CG'd everything in Black Panther.
But I don't know. I guess I'm not informed enough on its politics to, like, comment on that. But what do you think about that?
I just think, the main thing I had, especially lately with Marvel things, and I felt this in Black Panther, in the first one. I haven't seen the second one. I felt this in the Falcon and the Winter Soldier TV show. Yes, I watched that show.
Oh, wow.
I know.
I'm actually impressed that you saw that.
I, like, don't know why, but I like Anthony Mackie. I was like, I liked him. Rooting for him. But I watched that. And even Civil War, like, I agree with the villains are right. Like, like, Michael B. Jordan. Like,
aside from the small murdering.
He shouldn't, he was kind of a crazy murderous guy. He didn't have to kill, you know, his girlfriend. He didn't have to kill a lot of people.
Yeah. To make his point.
And he didn't have to, like, burn, the sacred. All that stuff was shady. But, like, you know,
His intentions were clear.
His intentions were, I see where he was coming from.
Yeah.
You know? And then in Captain Falcon and the Winter Soldier, it was, like, wild. It was, like, because the plot, do you know, like, what the plot line or the conflict is?
The main roughly remember. I watched it when it first came out. But the main villain also was, like, very in the right. But it was almost, like...
She was completely right. There was, like, no... Like, she didn't do it. Like, she just fought people when they fought her. Yeah. I don't know.
But then it seemed like Marvel was like, oh, we can't let people, like, root for her. So let's have her, like, bomb this building randomly.
Yeah.
But she was everything she
but
spoke.
How about the
was
Marvel
very true.
Marvel guy? They, how many people die in these alien battles? Whatever, you know?
Yeah, Sokovia or whatever.
Yeah,
in
and
Avengers
like,
2.
And where Wakanda is on the outside, you know?
Yeah.
Like, his like the bunch of people die in the second Avengers movie or whatever. That's like a whole thing. I think, like, there's a theory that they had to change the plot line because there was something to do with, like, a virus.
And it was during COVID.
And, yeah, they filmed it before COVID, and then COVID happened, and they're like, we don't want to do a show with, like, a virus and a pandemic because that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why it didn't make that much sense. But for those who haven't watched it, it's basically the main, like, not villain because Captain Falcon, like, definitely empathizes with her and, like, wants to work with her. But she's a refugee. So basically what happened is the snap in Avengers, half the people in the world disappeared. So then people were kind of migrating everywhere and like the world changed. But then when the population came back, borders got stricter and then a lot of people were displaced, according to the lore in Marvel. So there are all these refugees created by half the population coming back. And these refugees are basically just pissed because they're like, we lived here for 5 years and now we're...
Yeah. Squatters' rights means nothing.
Yeah, they're like, come on, guys, like, let us stay. We don't have anywhere to go. And they're basically just demanding that they can go back to where they've been. It's like a very, you know, normal demand. I don't know. And they, like, treat her like she's, like, this crazy radical, like, and she dies. I don't know. I was like, what?
Yeah, I would have, I don't even, like, yeah, it was so, I don't like how they did her character. Character assassination at its finest. Well, she literally died, but I mean, like, her like her intentions were so, like, clear and reasonable. And then I feel like because Marvel was like, oh, she needs to be more of a villain, she just did all this, like, random stuff.
Yeah, and they tried to, like, you know, Captain Falcon, because he's going to be the new Captain America. But it's like, what does it mean if Captain America is a black man? And he goes and meets the first super soldier who got thrown in jail. And it was, like, unjust criminal system, but also... Like, Captain America is still, or Captain Falcon, he's still, like, a cop. Like, I don't know. It was weird.
It was weird.
Yeah.
No, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, they tried to, like, you know, be a bit self-aware, but it didn't work, you know?
Yeah. Like, I did find that exploration, like, really interesting. Like, because also, like, the... Like, I liked the parallels to the, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but, like, the Tuskegee or, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in the States.
Yeah.
So I thought, like, all of that stuff was really interesting. I thought all of his, like, grappling was very interesting. But then I didn't love that he kind of, like, gave a speech at the end and, like, everything was okay. But I don't know. I love Anthony Mackie, so I'll always support him. And I'll watch Captain America 5 or 4 or whatever. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But... One question I have for you, Isaiah, and I want to talk about, are Marvel movies interesting? Like,
I think some of them are interesting. I think parts of all of them are interesting, but sometimes they, I don't know, depends on, like, my favorite Marvel movie is probably Thor Ragnarok, because I really like Taika Waititi, who directed it, and I don't know, it's just, like, really funny and colorful, and, like, it was just a fun movie, and I think it leaned into just being fun rather than, like, you know, the classic Marvel, like, funny quip, but this is serious.
Yeah.
But then, like, it's funny, but this is serious, and I'm supposed to care about these characters.
They were
and
just
the stakes.
Like, it's funny.
It was just a fun movie, and, like, Tessa Mae Thompson was awesome in it.
I love
and
her.
And Taika Waititi as Korg was great. It was just, like...
Cate Blanchett, which is, like,
yeah,
kind of insane to
she
think
was
about
awesome.
Looking
like,
back.
She was so cool. Like, it was just... A great movie.
Yeah.
And I don't think their Civil War is... That's another one. Not to go back to politics for too long. But I think they were framing Captain America to be kind of the rogue one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he was right. He was very right to not trust the U.S. government to wield...
Yeah.
Super power. Super people power.
I don't even remember the side. So Captain America was against the government.
Yeah, so the government was like, you guys should sign over your power to us. And Iron Man is like, yeah, we should do it. And Captain America's like, no, I don't want to fight. Like, they're just going to make us go, like, fight, like, I don't know. He didn't say this, but, like, you know, they're just going to send us to, like, Iraq or something to, like, harm civilians, like, essentially.
Yeah.
So he was right. And Iron Man is a cab. He's a cop.
Yeah.
That guy sucks.
A-kime. Oh, wait.
All that's Iron Mans are bad.
Yeah, that's not the correct acronym. But, yeah, I agree. Weirdly that you say that, Civil War, I think, was one of the Marvel movies I actually, like, really liked. And also
No, I liked it, too. Soldier. I was critiquing it, but that's, like, one of my favorite ones, too.
No, fair enough. Just because I feel like that one wasn't as, like, formulaic or predictable
as the
others.
It was exciting.
Yeah, it was really exciting. It was cool to see all, like, the heroes against each other, and I feel like the reasoning behind it was really clear. And I feel like that's what gave the Russo brothers, like, so much of their magic, because, like, they used to write and direct for, like, TV, like Community, for example. Mm-hmm. So they were very skilled at, like, writing characters and juggling, like, all these different characters and making you care about them and making their intentions clear. So I remember, like, watching that movie, and I love how they put, like, the giant superhero fight in, like, the middle of the movie instead of the end, because I feel like any, like, a lesser, like, writer directing team would have made that, like, the big showdown. But instead, it's, like, Captain America and Iron Man, just the two of them, because what really matters isn't, like, who wins that fight, but, like, their relationship.
And I was and the intro of Spider-Man and Black Panther were, like, they were both done so well, and it was so exciting. And the stakes seemed real.
Yeah.
Like, when, like, Iron Man, or when Captain America's, like, bashing his shield into Iron Man's, like, or you think he's gonna, like, hit his face and he hits his chest instead to, like, deactivate his whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was like, for a second, I was like, oh, he's going to.
But he didn't.
Like, the stakes were real, whereas now no one ever dies. Yeah. And even if they die, they have a TV show in another timeline, like Loki, you know? Yeah. It's like.
Which is why I think the whole, like, multiverse thing kind of just, like, erased the stakes. Like, I know we're going to talk about, like, Ant-Man later, but, like, that movie and, like, watching, like, even, like, Doctor Strange and, like, some of Loki, because they just got rid of, like, the, like, this is the one timeline, like, there's infinite timelines and universes. Like, yeah, it's super cool, and I'm, like, interested to see where they go with it, but there's literally, like, no stakes to anything. And it's not that I even need, like, characters to die, but, like, the
just
plot
die.
Armor. The,
there's, like, a million of them.
Just come get another one. The plot armor is getting insane to me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the two and Captain America 2 and 3 were, like, some of the high points. And then I thought Civil War, as you said, with, like, Spider-Man and Black Panther being introduced, I think that was, like, a shining example of how they could, like, incorporate, like, new characters, like, elegantly without it seeming forced. Whereas, like, I know you didn't see Black Panther 2, but in Wakanda Forever, they kind of introduce, like, Ironheart, and she's supposed to be, like,
The new Iron Man.
And she's, like, good. And the actress, I can't remember her name, but she's, like, great with what she's given. And, like, I didn't mind whenever she was on screen. But, like, the whole time I was, like, this movie would have been, like, 30 minutes shorter if they just, like, saved her for something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, yeah, I think that's one of the main qualms I have with, like, are they too predictable? Is definitely, like, the stakes of it all. It's just very, you just know that they're all going to be fine.
Yeah.
They're all going to, you know, everyone dies. There's no blood. All violence, no blood, which I think is a really funny thing about Marvel. It's like.
Which is why I actually liked some elements of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, because that scene where, like, the evil Captain America, like, spashes in that guy with the shield.
Yeah, true.
I was like, damn.
It was like the first time there was blood, or one of the first, you know, like, kind of semi a bit gory things.
Because the shield could, like, totally decapitate somebody, and they never showed us that until then. But anyway.
So, yeah, those are your favorites, Civil War and.
Yeah, Civil War, Winter Soldier. And then I thought, honestly, I really liked Infinity War. Like, Infinity War.
That's the second of the two.
That's the first of the two.
Yeah, I like the first one more than the second one.
Because, yeah, Infinity War gave, like, I mean, I'm not. It gave like Empire Strikes Back vibes, where it was like a very clear like middle chapter, but it was very like exciting and kind of stood on its own. And then I thought like Infinity War was like a good example of like, okay, I'm walking into this movie knowing like I need to have seen like all these other movies. I know there's going to be all these characters. I know it's probably going to be a little overstuffed, but they like handled and juggled all those characters like so well, and they made it so exciting. And then they introduced like this great villain, Thanos, and like Marvel has kind of had a villain problem in the past where their villains used to be like kind of boring or just like an evil version of the hero. So I really liked Thanos. And then it was just like an exciting little, it felt like you were watching like the penultimate like episode of a show, which are sometimes always the best episodes. But yeah, anyway, those three would be my favorite.
Nice. Yeah, I think definitely Thor Ragnarok and Civil War, but Infinity War was cool. I enjoyed it a lot. I think the what was this one after it? The second Avengers?
Endgame?
Endgame, like, I watched it, and at times I got bored, which I was like, I shouldn't be bored.
Yeah.
But it was, like, a million years long, and I don't know. I'm happy they killed Iron Man. At least they killed someone.
Yeah.
I hate that, like, girl power moment that they, like, tried to manufacture. Was
especially because it was so much better in Infinity War when they did it, and it was less
Wanda.
Forced. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry.
I think a WandaVision, I thought it was cool because it was very, like, I don't know, it was pretty imaginative.
Yeah.
Like, just the, like, first couple episodes, like, being, like, eras of TV. I thought that was cool that they did that. And I had no idea where it was going, which was cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've only seen that in Winter Soldier for TV shows, but I definitely liked WandaVision more.
Yeah, I liked WandaVision up until the finale where it, like, remembered it was a Marvel property and it had to do Marvel things. But
yeah.
Even the finale was, like, pretty solid. So that was probably my favorite Marvel show.
Yeah, and she's, like, the character that has the most emotional, I don't know. She, like, actually, like, her life is tragic, you know?
Yeah.
Like, everything bad happens to her and she's so I don't know. I just don't get, like, the whole like who's powerful and like who's the most powerful. Like, she's so powerful and they're just, I don't know, she just always messes up in some way. They're like, she's emotional, so she messes up.
Yeah.
But I'm like, she could, I feel like she's like the most powerful one.
She is, and that's why, like, I'm almost glad you didn't watch Doctor Strange 2, because they absolutely like assassinate her character.
Yeah.
Because she, I guess, like, spoilers if you haven't seen Doctor Strange 2, but, like, she's like, the main villain in Doctor Strange 2, essentially. But, like, the motivations they give her are, like, so stupid. Like, her whole thing is just that she's, like, a mom, and she, like, wants her kids back.
Yeah.
And not all these other, like, aspects of her character. And then, also, she does, like, she's not, like, we come off of WandaVision with her being, like, you know, a little mischievous. Maybe there's a little bit of darkness inside of her. And then I walk into Doctor Strange 2 and she's, like, a fully formed, like devil-ass, like, woman.
Because, like, she went to the forest and she, you know, levitated and she became evil.
She was reading the book or whatever. Yeah. So some people are like, oh, she got corrupted and that's why she's so evil. But there was no progression. And, yeah, I think Doctor Strange is maybe one of the worst. Doctor Strange 2, one of the worst, like, recent Marvel movies I've ever seen. Everything about that movie was just so frustrating.
Did you like The Eternals? Did you see that one?
I've seen 30 minutes of it.
It was, Eternals was interesting. It was bad, first of all. To me, sorry, in my opinion. Just the central, it was interesting because, like, the characters in this movie, like, are supposed to have, like, millions of years together.
Yeah.
And, like, the central love story, it's like a love story that, you know, spans millions of years, but they have, like, no chemistry and you don't care about them at all. And, like, the most interesting relationship in the whole movie gets, like the two, there's, like, two interesting ones that get, like, 2 seconds of air, like, screen time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it was just like they had all these, like, cool, interesting characters, but they were like, not you. We're going to focus on, like, the most boring leads ever. And we're going to have, like, an earth-shattering event happen that apparently doesn't come up in any other Marvel movies after it, is what I've heard. Mm. And I haven't seen all of them. I think the worst Marvel movie I've seen is maybe the Brie Larson one. What's it called?
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
Oh,
I thought it was like, I just thought like, it was so weird because Brie Larson is such a great, great actress. Like, she...
Amazing in Room.
Yeah, amazing in Room. Amazing in Short Term 12. Like, that's one of my favorite movies. She's incredible in it. Young Oscar winner. And, like, the dialogue was, like, it was so weird. Like, she was so... It was just so off. And the plot line was just... It was just so... I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just such a flop. They're like, this is our empowerment movie. But Marvel doesn't know how to do that naturally.
I think they didn't know how to write a woman...
Yeah.
In my opinion. Because, I don't know. I watched it and I didn't hate it. I really liked Samuel L. Jackson in that movie because they kind of just let him be like, he kind of just like plays himself in that movie and it's awesome. But it was almost like they forgot to give Captain Marvel like any like interesting or unique characteristics.
Yeah, she's strong. They're like, she's just strong and that's it.
That's it.
Like, I don't know. They really did her dirty.
Yeah.
Brie Larson deserves better.
Hopefully the new one is better because the new one is
called The Marvels.
Mm. So it's with like Brie Larson and then I forget.
Miss Marvel
and then also like the one from WandaVision whose name I'm forgetting.
Whose mom was Captain Marvel's bestie.
Yeah. So hopefully Tiana Paris who plays Monica. Yeah. Hopefully they like bring it together. For the Marvels, because I think they have a new like writer directing team, but yeah, I agree.
I think I'm off the Marvel for good.
You're off the Marvel for good.
I think I am. Maybe I'll
quit in cold turkey.
I'll watch what's it called?
Guardians.
Wakanda Forever. For sorry, I'm gonna sneeze.
Bless you.
Sorry. I'll watch it for Tenoch. I forget his last name. Tenoch.
Tenoch. Hottie pants.
He's so sexy. Tenoch Huerta. I love him. I'm a big fan.
He's a king.
So I'll watch it for him. Watch him get his big break. But I know he's probably an evil villain who's probably right, you know? Minus his murdering people, probably. Was that a good suggestion?
That's a good, set your expectations to that for him to be right.
I'm going to play some ads and show promos, and then we'll be back, and Daniel is going to be talking about...
Rambling
about the new Ant-Man movie, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Stay around.
Are you looking for ways to be a part of the community through low-stakes opportunities like volunteering? What about making friends that are really cool or have some common interests? Well, I'm here to tell you that at CITR, you can come volunteer at Volunteer Wednesdays, happening every other Wednesday from 12 to 3 with a really fun activity each time, like making signs or button making. Not only is it a great break from outside stress, but a great opportunity to be a part of the community. For more information, you can visit CITR's Instagram page at CITR and Discorder.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Hello, hello. You're listening to Fan Club on CITR 101.9 FM. This is Daniel here. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Isia.
Hi.
We've been talking / rambling / complaining about Marvel movies, the history of Marvel movies, and all that. And I was going to talk a little bit about the newest Marvel movie that came out this past weekend, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. It's the 31st Marvel movie, not counting like the eight, like Disney Plus Marvel shows. And it's the first movie of phase five. So like the fifth kind of like crop of movies in what they're calling like the multiverse saga. And in terms of like the box office, it is doing like pretty good, at least for an Ant-Man movie. It's like the biggest. Yeah, like that is the disclaimer. But it had like the biggest Ant-Man opening ever, like almost double the first Ant-Man opening like domestically. But it's also tied for the worst reviewed like MCU film with Eternals, actually, because I think it's sitting at a nice 47% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I saw it yesterday in preparation for this episode so I could be a bit more informed when I was complaining about Marvel. So I thought I would just dive into what I enjoyed and didn't enjoy. And Isia will chime in whenever she...
I haven't seen it, but I assume that Daniel's right.
Thank you.
I saw some screen grabs of the... like visuals and how dark it was. That's
all. The visuals are ass. I'm so sorry. But the visuals are not good. But actually some of them are good. Okay. Anyway, overall, I didn't hate it as much as I was expecting to because I read like a couple reviews before I saw it. Like the Letterboxd score was really low. So I was like, okay, I was like preparing myself for just like a terrible movie because as an aside, I think the worst Marvel movie MCU movie I've ever seen was like Thor Love and Thunder, so like the one after Ragnarok.
That's so sad.
Which is really sad.
How does that even happen?
I don't know. But that's a whole other episode. But what I did like was I thought some of the character designs were cool. So those who don't know a lot about Ant-Man 3, essentially they travel into this quantum realm that's kind of been built up over the past couple Ant-Man movies and Marvel movies. And there's all these like weird like alien/human creatures. William Jackson Harper is in it, if you know him. He's like Chidi from The Good Place.
Oh, cool.
He's a king in that like reads minds. Yeah. Oh. He just like played Chidi, but like in a Marvel movie basically. But it was good. And then also like one thing I was pleasantly surprised by was that the humor like weirdly wasn't as like forced as it's been like recently for other Marvel movies, specifically like Thor 4. Like the comedy was so bad in that movie. Like I was screaming to get out, but I was on a family outing. But the humor was like pretty good at like several points for me. Like it hit. I really liked Jonathan Majors in it. Last week or a couple weeks ago, we talked about Last Black Man in San Francisco. And that was actually, that movie was kind of how they chose him as like Kang. They saw him in that and they were like, oh, we want him to be this like villain that's going to lead to like all these movies, which is crazy to me, but like good for Jonathan. Michelle Pfeiffer, she's given like quite a bit to do in it too. And she's pretty fun. And I just liked how like weird the movie was. Like, I feel like one thing Marvel does that's really annoying is like, there'll be something weird and then like the characters will like point and laugh at it and like stop the movie to be like, haha, that's weird that your name is this or that you're an alien, blah, blah, blah. And this movie still did that, but did like less of it. It kind of just like let it be weird at several points, which was nice. And then to get into what I did not like. So as I said, a lot of the movie is like very ugly. So I feel like we could talk about like the whole like CGI artists and like them being overworked for like an entire episode. But it was very much like on display in this movie that the CGI artists like needed more time. But also aside from that, like everything just looked so like uninteresting and like ripped off of Star Wars. Like the plot and like the whole like world of the quantum realm kind of just reminded me of Star Wars multiple times. But like rendered worse. And a lot of it also was very like noisy. Like a lot of characters will kind of just like yell or have like annoying arguments that are supposed to be funny, but it's just like nobody talks like this, and if anyone talked like this in real life they would suck. And then one part of the movie I really did not like was that they kind of almost like nerfed the whole appeal of having like Paul Rudd as Ant-Man, because I feel like what made the other two Ant-Man movies work and what makes like Paul Rudd work as like an actor and someone who's fun to watch is that he gets to be like charming and funny and like say goofy things. And this movie, he looks like so like miserable for a lot of the time. Yeah, like he is not having a good time in this movie. I was reading one review that called the film A Cry for Help, and I would say that's pretty accurate because him and then also like Michael Douglas looks like so bored at many points, and he's not given a ton to do either, so that's fair. And then also Bill Murray is in it.
Oh, really?
And Bill Murray, like, I've never seen like a better representation of like I'm just here for the money than like the scenes with Bill Murray. He just looks so bored. Some of the dialogue, terrible. And then I think what kind of made this movie the most disappointing for me, especially since I grew up with the MCU, was that like nothing about the movie generated any feelings of excitement in me, like at all. Like I felt like I was kind of just watching the plot happen to all these people. And there were times I was like entertained, but all of the action sequences, I was kind of just like, oh, this is an action sequence. But I didn't really care. There was nothing like interesting or particularly super exciting about the action sequences, which were really frustrating because I thought the last two Ant-Man movies had really cool like action fighting with them getting like small and big when they punch stuff. And this one, it just like nothing was really hitting. And I feel like the one thing that was keeping me like engaged somewhat was like, oh, I want to see how this ends because this is like kind of a unique like concept. But then by the time it got to the climax, I was like, oh my God, like when is this going to end? Like it's been going on forever. So those are my overall thoughts. But I don't know. What do you think about what I just said based off of that?
So is Jonathan Majors' character, is Kang getting set up to be like the next big villain for movies to come?
Yeah, so like I don't think you saw Loki season one, but
I tried.
You tried. Spoiler alert, you could probably find like a 3-minute like YouTube recap somewhere if you really wanted to know, but essentially Jonathan Majors' character is introduced in Loki as a variant of like Kang, and his whole thing in Loki is like, I'm like the least evil Kang, so like if you think I'm evil, my variants are even like more crazy and powerful, like that, like Battleman. And then we get to this Kang, and like Jonathan Majors is like doing pretty good with what he's given, but like the power is so inconsistent. Like we watch him like laser people's like heads off and incinerate them and stuff, and then he fights like Paul Rudd, and suddenly he's just like, I'm just gonna do like hand-to-hand combat instead. And I'm like, what? It didn't make like any sense. So I was just like, I don't know, the plot armor and just the whole screenplay. And maybe I'm thinking about the screenplay a lot because I'm in like a screenwriting class right now that kind of goes into like how screenplays are made and stuff, but so many of the things that make like good movies just like were not in this movie. Like you're meant to care a lot about the emotional, like the emotion and the relationship dynamics. Like the movie, I feel like, really wants you to care about like Paul Rudd's character Scott and his daughter Cassie. And this whole thing is like they've been separated for 5 years. Paul Rudd doesn't understand her. She doesn't understand him. Blah, blah, blah. But the movie doesn't spend really like any time like developing that relationship. And same thing with all the other like main character dynamics. And because of that, when there's these like emotional moments or parts where we're supposed to care or worry for someone's life or relationship, I just like did not care because they literally have given us no reason to care in this movie.
Yeah.
So that was one aspect I was like, this is very annoying. It was like they didn't have enough of elements of a movie that make it like good and memorable, but it was also somehow like too long. Gotcha. So I was upset.
I hope they don't have Jonathan for too long, you know?
Yeah.
He's like in his you know, big budget bag right now.
Yeah.
Or like big movie. Like he's doing Creed and he's doing this.
He's in like Magazine Dreams, which I heard he was pretty good in.
Magazine Dreams?
Yeah, I don't really know what it's about, but I heard he was good in it.
Yeah, I just, like, I feel like that's something that Marvel actors have talked about, is feeling limited in their other options because they've, like, signed away so much time to Marvel. Like, Elizabeth Olsen has expressed that, which is a shame because I think she's a really great actress as well and, like, one of the better, I don't know. She does, I think, some of the best with what she's... I think she's given more than most Marvel characters just because...
More than what Marvel deserves, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a shame to hear that the movie was such a flop.
Yeah, I think after watching it, that was when I like empathized the most with Scorsese, because I was kind of like, I did not enjoy watching this, but part of me doesn't know if it's because like, oh, the CGI was ugly, which is an aside. This was like a $200 million movie. It should have looked way better. But I don't know. Part of me was like, I don't really like this movie. I don't think it's a good movie. But also, I was like, I feel like this has a lot of things that maybe like comic book movie fans want in a movie. Like, it was weird, and there was a bunch of weird like comic book stuff, and the villain was cool, and it had all these like fights and comedy. So I was like, maybe it's just not for me anymore. And I'm sad because I feel like Marvel movies are less now a thing I'm excited to go watch, but now something that I just need to do to like stay updated on pop culture. Not that anyone's forcing me to watch it, but I feel like the excitement is gone. And yeah, I just watch it like I would read the news every morning kind of thing.
Damn. I think the main thing, or like one of the main quotes in the earlier discourse section that is kind of the most important for this whole discussion that Tarantino said, was that his only axe to grind against them is that they're the only things that seem to be made. And I think if Marvel movies didn't take up so much space in like movie theater screenings, they weren't being screened for like 3 months when
there was like 50 showtimes yesterday, like something crazy like that.
Yeah, like if they weren't taking up so much space, then literally who cares? Like, who cares if, you know, movies that cost $200 million and you know, aren't that interesting to the average person maybe and are kind of boring and formulaic, like it wouldn't matter. But I think it just matters because they are the dominant, like they just take up so much space, and like there just isn't room. Like, movie theaters prioritize playing them because that's what makes them money. And, like, a lot of other great movies aren't getting screen time.
That's why I'm doing my part to see Cocaine Bear opening night.
Are you actually going to see it opening night?
I don't know if I'll see it, like, this Friday when it opens. But, like, I'm rallying the fellas, and we will be watching Cocaine Bear.
Let me know how it goes.
I will.
That's crazy.
I do have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Where would you like to see Marvel go? Like, if they were to kind of solve this issue of being like formulaic, boring, overcomplicated, like what would be your like ideal Marvel movie that would win you over?
Win me back? Okay. Yeah. I think that they need to do less. I think the sheer volume of them is hurting the quality, because I mean, I agree, part of our liking Marvel less now than maybe we did like 5 or 10 years ago is obviously somewhat to do with age, but I think they have declined in quality, and that's because they're making so many. I think if they had less of a leash on directors and writers, it would also improve. Like, mm-hmm. Taika Waititi's a great director, Chloe Zhao is a great director, like
Sam Raimi like did Doctor Strange too.
Yeah, like all these people, they have great talent on all fronts, but there's obviously something that's like stopping them from being as good as they are, and they need to stop whatever that is, whatever they're doing. I think they need to, you know, stop abusing workers' rights and letting VFX artists work normal hours and give them the time and the right compensation to do a good job. Because they have the money to do it, obviously.
Clearly, yeah.
So that's a big thing. Movies would look better. And I don't know, just like take a look at your movies and maybe try and figure out what's actually interesting about the new ones. Like, look at Eternals and realize that Druig and Makari are the most interesting characters and they have the most interesting relationship, and focus on them instead of the boring lead who no one cares about. Yeah. I mean, I love Gemma Chan, but they gave her crumbs, and Richard Madden also crumbs. I don't know. That was rough. That's a one thing I'll compliment Eternals on. The super speed, they did super speed really cool.
Oh, okay.
Like, it wasn't like they didn't do the slow motion but fast thing. They like just had her like raging on people, just like it was cool.
Yeah.
And her Makari was really cool. She was a cool character. and Druig's like moral conundrums. Basically, his power is that he can control people to do whatever he wants, and he wants to like control humans to stop killing each other, basically, and like mitigate conflict.
Noble.
And they're like, you can't do that. You're not supposed to mess with the flow of time because they're not allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not part of their job as Eternals or whatever. But I'm like, let him do his thing. So he starts a commune in the jungle where everyone's perfect because he controls them. Go Druig. And I just love Barry Keoghan. Mwah.
Yeah.
Great actor.
He's a king.
Anyway, sorry, to go back to your question.
No, you answered it lovely.
They have all the ingredients. They have good writers, good directors, great actors and actresses.
Money. They have a lot of money.
They have a ton of money. They have access to all this IP. They just need to slow down. And I don't know, just stop with the formula is dead. It's not working anymore. Try something new.
Yeah. And I did read that Kevin Feige, I don't know if this was in response to like Ant-Man getting like not very good reviews, but I did read that they're slowing down like the output, at least for like the Disney Plus shows.
Yeah.
Because those like 7 or 8 shows that came out were all within like 1 to 2 years.
That's who's gonna like, I get it, they're making the profit, like it's working out for them, but I don't know, it's just like, wouldn't they rather, because it's about money, it's all about money, I understand, but wouldn't it be awesome to just make a movie that it doesn't have to be like life-changing and deep and crazy, it just has to be like, you know, a solid
fun
good blockbuster with a somewhat interesting plot, with great high budget visuals, great acting. It would do so well. But I don't think it's about that, I guess. It's just about who people are excited for. And now they realize if you do a multiverse thing and put a lot of people in the same place, people go crazy, like with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
They go actually insane.
Not gonna lie, I did go insane. I did stand up and cheer.
Yeah, like even that movie, like I liked it, and it was obviously like I loved seeing the three of them together, but it just like, I don't know, like was it good though, besides just it was cool that they had these like the three Spider-Mans together. I don't know, I was just like, they're just relying on this crazy fan service that like gets people excited, but they're not, that's, they're just relying on it.
Yeah, I am interested to see what happens with DC movies. Because James Gunn just took over as, mm-hmm. like, kind of the forerunner or, like, leader creatively of, like, all the DC movies. And Guardians of the Galaxy are some of, like, the better Marvel films. And, like, his Suicide Squad, I thought, was, like, pretty solid. So I'm interested to see what he takes from, like, his knowledge of what works and what doesn't work at Marvel. And, like, for his superhero movies. And then apply it to, like, kind of creating a whole new cinematic universe from the ground up, essentially. So I'm interested in what he does with that. I feel like because of age, I'm still never going to be as excited about it as I was like 5-10 years ago. But yeah, I'd agree with you on like what Marvel would need to do. And it doesn't seem like that. Like, it seems like very simple things. Like, you have all the tools.
You have all
tools.
The ingredients.
Yeah, you have all the tools and ingredients.
It's just money. But,
yeah.
So would the James Gunn DC thing be with, like, Rob Pattinson Batman?
No.
Like,
so,
that kind of world? Or it's a new world?
Well, they're doing, like, a mix of both. So they're having, like, they're leaving, like, those standalone movies. So, like, the Batman, like, Joker, they're just going to keep, like, doing their own thing, independent.
Like, Joaquin Phoenix Joker.
Yeah, like, Joaquin Phoenix Joker. And then they're also having, like, a little, like, cinematic universe on the side with, like, Superman.
I've never cared about Superman one day in my life. I don't think I've ever seen a single Superman. I think maybe that's the thing with DC. I get that it's like darker.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
for those who
Aquaman.
Aren't in the studio, I see it did a little head wobble while she said just darker.
It's just like Superman, Aquaman, Ends of Water. Like, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman. Like, I don't know. I don't think... I'll see the next Rob Pattinson Batman if they make it shorter.
One.
I liked it. It was just too long.
It was too long. And more Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Saldana?
Put more of her.
Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, Zoe Kravitz. Sorry.
Zoe Saldana is Gamora.
My bad. I mixed up the Zoes.
Yeah.
More Zoe Kravitz. My mistake.
Yeah. Good luck, James Gunn, with DC.
Yeah.
I guess.
I'll still go watch Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I think it comes out in a couple months.
I've never been a big Guardians person. I only saw them like way after they came out, before Infinity War, to catch up.
They're like decent. I don't know. I think his Suicide Squad movie is better than either of his Guardians of the Galaxy movies, but I'll like...
With Jared Leto?
No. So there was like a really bad Suicide Squad, that one with Jared Leto.
Okay.
And then they like rebooted it, but kept some of the same characters. And James Gunn directed that one.
They keep the same actors?
They kept Margot Robbie and like Viola Davis and like...
What? Viola Davis?
Yeah, Viola
Davis. I don't know anything about these movies. DC is literally, besides like one of the first Dark Knight movie and then this new Batman, I haven't seen any of them.
You don't really need to, honestly. The Suicide Squad is like solid, mm-hmm. like the James Gunn one. And then he made like a little spin-off with John Cena that was also like pretty fun.
Yes, I think I've heard of.
Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think before maybe we wrap up, just one thing is, you know what really hit, especially when I was a kid?
What?
Was the X-Men movies.
Days of Future Past went crazy.
Yeah, and like the original ones with like Halle Berry, like those were like my favorite as a kid. And I think those are like, there were really interesting, I don't know, discussions. And like it was interesting, like mutants, and they want to like sterilize the mutants and, you know, mutants versus the government.
Some
like
genocidal vibes going on.
It was just interesting. I don't know. And also... Okay, now I'm just, because we have, like, it feels like we have unlimited time, so I'm just, like, saying all these, like, random thoughts in my head. But although I am crapping on Marvel for its bad politics and having villains who are basically right, that's basically a trend across most fight, like, media like that. Like, even Avatar, like, Last Airbender Avatar, mm-hmm. or I guess it's not Avatar, it's Legend of Korra, but... Like the, you know, have you watched Korra?
No.
I
want to.
Have you watched Avatar?
I've seen a couple episodes.
Avatar is so good. This is not what the episode is about, but when you talk about that wonder, that like joy in your soul, like watching, that you felt when you watched Marvel movies, when they like really got to you, like Avatar does that to me. So perfect, better than any Marvel movie ever can. Like when you see them fight in like the battles, and it's for kids. It's not like this weird like, oh, it's for kids, but it's for adults, but mm-hmm. there's violence, but there's no blood. It's like it's for kids, but it's as an adult. Like I watched it for the first time when I was way past childhood, and I'm like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
I'll get back on The Last Airbender.
So you should watch Last Airbender. Okay. It's so good. But anyways, Korra, you know, they have villains who are like, why do benders get to take over the world? Why are they the powerful ones? Mm-hmm. That's unfair. And they're right. I'd be pissed. Imagine you live in a world where there's people can bend elements and you're born as a person who couldn't.
Yeah.
And they have all the power politically, physically. I'd be pissed.
Socially,
I'd be like, yeah, get rid of that. I don't want that. Like,
I would
zap
say
them
the
from
best,
their powers.
The best like movies and TV shows, like the villain is always a little bit right.
Yeah, but sometimes they're too right. And it's just like, you know, because media abides by like liberal politics. So it's like, they're like, oh, you're completely right, but you're a little mean. You're done. Like, that's basically, oh, you're right, but you're not just asking me really politely and you're actually trying to fight for something. You're done. That's like...
Pack it up.
That's the moral of every... movie ever, but I'm gonna stop now because I'm just going.
No, that was very amazing.
But everyone, watch Avatar, watch Attack on Titan. End of Attack on Titan season 4 part 1 did what the Avengers couldn't. Like the group of people working together in season 4 of Attack on Titan. Literally, I was like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Avengers can never. Okay.
It's great.
That'll be the synopsis of our episode today. Avengers could never.
Do you have any useful parting thoughts on like mine?
I guess the only thing I would say is like I'm bummed that Marvel movies like that seems like maybe I'm outgrowing them, but also I feel like the quality is just declining. I feel like they have all this success and all this money and all this talent behind them. So it's really disappointing when the sum is less than its parts. So mm-hmm. I'd love to see them like turn it around somehow consistently and sustainably. I am excited for the new Disney Plus show with Samuel L. Jackson, Secret Invasion, that we can talk about later. But yeah, I don't know. This was fun diving into Marvel movies because I feel like we've had like little 5-minute tidbits of this conversation like in passing. So I was glad we gave it the space it deserves. What about you? Any final thoughts?
I will say, as much as I crap on Marvel, maybe, I have seen, I think, all of the movies up until Eternals. So that is saying something. That is a lot of movies that I watched. And like probably more than at least half of them in the theaters. So there's a reason people go out to them. But, you know, at the end of the day, capitalism is winning. And, you know, it's not about the directors or the actors or the people involved. It's really about Disney as a multi-billion-dollar media conglomerate that is taking over everything. And people aren't really mad at the movies, the Marvel movies. They just want other movies to have a chance, you know, mm-hmm. and a spot. And they're just mad at the conditions that capitalism has created in film. But yeah, shout out to Spider-Man or whatever. Jeff, that's my final thought.
Okay. And everyone go see Cocaine Bear.
Go watch Cocaine Bear. Go watch Avatar The Last Airbender. Go watch Attack on Titan.
Season 4 specifically.
All of it. All of it. Okay. It's so good. I will watch it. and have a great week.
Have a great week.
Godspeed. You've listened. This was Fan Club with Isia and Daniel.
Yes, sir.
Listen every week, 2 p.m. on Tuesdays, and we'll be back saying stuff in our brains on air.
Bye-bye.
Bye.